If you'll get your scriptures and turn with us, please, to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter number 8. I'm going to read verses 5 through verse 13. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, and I shared in leaving this morning, I'm going to preach about tonight, seeing and being seen. Important. A lot of folks just want to be seen. They don't really see, but they want to be seen. Amen? Listen to the scriptures. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. You know, this passage kind of begins when Jesus enters into Capernaum, and you need to know something about that. When Jesus was not traveling, he made Capernaum his kind of a headquarters, you might say, his home base, where he worked out from. So Capernaum was Jesus' headquarters when he wasn't traveling around. Capernaum also was the hometown city of Andrew and also Peter and then James and also John. Now, Capernaum was a noted harbor town where all the men who fished on the Sea of Galilee always fished out of the port there off Capernaum. But now listen, Capernaum wasn't just some little quaint fishing village. All around Capernaum was a lot of farmland, and it brought forth plentifully vegetables and fruits of all kinds. So, Capernaum was on a trade route. So, it was not just a little fishing village. It was a cosmopolitan city of that particular day, of grave importance because of the trade that went to and from and through it. That's the reason, partly because Rome stationed some soldiers in the major cities to kind of keep an eye on things and to kind of govern things and to kind of, you know, run things if they needed to. So it's not a surprise to me that you find this centurion based here in Capernaum. Now, if you've read your scriptures, if you've kind of noted it, if you're not, you can go back and read it for yourself. In the four Gospels and also the book of Acts, there are at least seven different centurions that are mentioned in the scriptures that were kind, and I guess you'd say they were generous, you might say, to the Jews, and they treated the Jews with kindness. They treated some of the Christians also with kindness. They respected Jesus. So there was a number of those centurions that we find in the Gospels, also in the book of Acts. Now, this story here revolves around a certain centurion, Roman centurion soldier. Now, there's three questions that I find from this passage that surround and revolve around this man that really apply to us today. And I want us to look at these questions and ask them to ourselves as we look at his life and as we look from the scriptures and see what the questions are. Three of them. First of all, I want you to see in this man's life the question, how do our friends see us? Now, this centurion, a most notable man, a most worthy man to the Jews in Capernaum, because you see, it says this centurion built for the Jews a synagogue in Capernaum. So first of all, you've got to understand this man had to have been some man of means or some man of some wealth to build a synagogue for the Jews, and he certainly did do that. Well, the Jewish elders and the ruling Jews were really, you know, thankful to him. They were grateful for him doing that, and they considered him one of their friends because of how he had treated them. Now, when they find out, the elders find out that this centurion's servant is lying at home sick with the palsy, they feel that this man is worthy because he's befriended them. They feel that he's worthy to have Jesus to come to his house and heal his servant. So that's kind of what's in their mind. So they encourage him to go to see Jesus because they feel like, you know, that he deserves Jesus to come see him because look what he's done, so what he's done for us. Now we have an opportunity here to maybe do something for him. So they had kind of befriended him, you might say. Well, there was a problem here. If Jesus would go to this man's home, it would be against Jewish tradition. Because the Jewish tradition said, if a Jew entered the house of a Gentile, then the Jew would be defiled. But they were willing, you see, to just lay aside their tradition, lay aside their ruling, you might say, and make an exception, if you will, on behalf of this Roman centurion because he had been so kind to them. So they were going to try to kind of return the favor, you might say, and maybe have him to go to see Jesus and have Jesus to come to his house and then, you know, talk to him there and heal his servant. Now, he approaches Jesus, probably on their recommendation, and he says to the Lord Jesus, "My servant is at home sick with palsy. But Jesus, I am a man of authority." Now listen, you got to understand where this is coming from. This man understands that Jesus also was a man under authority. Just as this Roman centurion was under authority of his superior officers, and he was under the authority of Rome, and he was under the authority of the emperor himself, he understood, so to speak, the chain of command in authority. So he understood that Jesus was also under the authority of God. He wouldn't have Jesus to come to his house and defile himself because he was under the authority of God. He knew the laws that the Jews respected. But he said, "I also am a man," he says, "under authority." That's quite a remarkable acknowledgement for a Roman soldier, wouldn't you say? He said, "I also have people under me. I say to this soldier, he goes and he goes. Tell this servant, do this and he does this. Command this and command that." So this man understands. And look how his friends, the Jews, and the Jews didn't like Romans to begin with, but they liked this Roman because he had done such great things for him. Just as some of the other Roman centurions, if you go back in the book of Acts to chapter 10, you see the story there of Cornelius, and Cornelius was a very kind centurion too. So he was kind of like Cornelius was in Acts chapter 10. Now, they wanted him to bring it to Jesus' attention, that he deserved help. They felt like this man deserved the help of the Lord Jesus, and they wanted to be sure that Jesus got the message that this man was their friend and they needed to have Jesus to come to his house. Now, they saw him as a very worthy person. Now, I want to ask us a question. How do our friends see us? What do our friends think about us? Do they think we're worthy? Are they grateful for our friendship? Do they love us? So you see, we need to understand our friends need to see us in the right kind of light. As the Jews here saw this man as a kind man, a man who's very dignified, but a man who is kind and he's grateful and he gives help to the Jews, even though he's a Roman. So we need to ask ourselves the question, what do our friends, or how do our friends see us? Well, look at this man. They saw him as very high and worthy. All right, look at the second question. We need to ask ourselves a question too. How do we see ourselves? Now that begins to get kind of personal, doesn't it? Notice this man. When he came to Jesus, and he asked Jesus about his servant and to heal his servant, this centurion didn't brag on himself. He didn't exalt himself. He didn't try to remind Jesus that he had done such a great work for the Jews. He had built them a synagogue and he had showed kindness to the Jews. And, you know, he was just a buddy, you might say, to the Jews. He didn't brag about these things. He didn't tell Jesus what he had done. He didn't need to. Jesus knew what he had done. Jesus knew his heart. But he quickly admitted that he was a man also under authority to his superiors, just like Jesus was under ultimate authority of God the Father when he came here on this earth to minister. All right. Now, he knew this as a Roman centurion soldier. He had lots of power because when Rome conquered a land and a conquered people, they sent in their centurions. And with great authority they had. Centurions could command things to conquered people, and they'd have to do it, or death would be the result. He could have come to Jesus and said, "Now I'm ruling this country here, I'm ruling Capernaum, and I want you to come to my house," and Jesus would have been commanded to come. But do you see this man doing that? He doesn't use commands. He doesn't demand anything of Jesus. He just simply asks a question. But he knew with all his power, and he knew with all his authority that was given to him as a Roman leader, ruler, you might say here, he knew one thing. He couldn't heal that servant. His servant was lying at home sick and might have been sick unto death. And he knew he could not heal him. Well, why would he come to Jesus? Do you not suppose he'd probably heard of some of the miracles Jesus had already performed? Some of the things, maybe he might have even seen some things that Jesus had done. I'll say this, I know he had faith in the very work of the Lord Jesus. I know he did because he went to Jesus and he said, "Lord Jesus, I'm not even worthy for you to even come to my house. But Lord, you could just speak the word, and my servant would be healed." Now, where did he come from with that question? Why would he say that? Do you suppose he might have heard in Capernaum how Jesus had already spoken the word and had healed at a distance the nobleman's son? Probably he had heard somebody say that. Maybe he found out some other way. I don't know. But I do know this. He believed Jesus could heal at a distance. Just speak the word, he said, "Lord, and my servant will be healed." He used this opportunity not as authority, but in deep humility. He comes to the Lord Jesus not to display his greatness, not to brag on himself. When you find a person with a humble heart, there's fertile ground for the Lord himself to bring truth and to bring life. And here you find this man coming to Jesus in a very humble spirit. When shame and when pride comes in, shame comes along with it, doesn't it? Well, this centurion's humility brought him a great commendation from Jesus. Jesus said, "I've not seen faith like yours. In all Israel, I'm not worthy," he said. He knew he wasn't worthy. He saw himself as one not worthy for Jesus to even come to his home, but just speak the word. So you see how he saw himself as humble and not worthy? Let me ask you something. Who among us is worthy for Jesus to visit us? None of us. Who deserves to brag on ourselves and just almost command Jesus to do this or to do that because of who we are? We're just like this Roman. We're unworthy, totally unworthy. You know, over the many years, I've had the privilege as pastor. I have run across some people over the years, different times, different places, that if they do anything in the church, you better brag on them. If you don't, they'll brag on themselves. They're going to be heard and they're going to be seen. That's why I said I titled the message, See and Be Seen. Some people, if they do anything in the church, they're going to get credit for it. They're going to be glorified in it, and they're going to brag about it and have others to brag on their behalf, and they're going to be exalted in some measure. Not this man. This man's an example to us of how we ought to be humble before the Lord and understand about ourselves, see ourselves as we really are. But there's a third question I want to raise, not just our friends, how they see us, and not just how we see ourselves. The third question is this: how does Jesus see us? Now there you're getting real, real personal. All right, let's see how Jesus saw him. Jesus knew all about this man. There wasn't a thing about this Roman centurion that Jesus didn't know. He also knew how much he loved his servant. No doubt he loved his servant greatly, or he wouldn't have gone to all the problems and trouble he had to try to get some help for him. He loved his servant. Jesus knew that. When the soldier centurion made the statement about authority, it revealed his personal faith in Jesus. Him being under authority, he believed in the rules. He knew Jesus was under authority. He knew that Jesus could do what he had already done. He was able to do it. He trusted in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the faith that he put in Jesus Christ. Notice, when Jesus spoke to him, Jesus didn't brag on what he had done. Jesus didn't say, "Well, we're so proud that you built our Jews a synagogue. We're just so fortunate we could have you in Capernaum. We're just so thankful that you were just so generous and so kind. You treated us good and you built a synagogue and you were, you know, just showed me dignity and respect." Jesus didn't say one thing about all that stuff, did he? What did he say? "Man, I've never seen faith like yours. Not even in Israel." This man didn't brag on himself, and Jesus didn't brag on him. Beloved, listen, we don't need to be bragged on. We don't need to be exalted. We don't need to be lifted up. It's Jesus who needs to be exalted, and Jesus needs to be lifted up and magnified. Not man. He deserves all the glory that we can ever ascribe to him. Well, Jesus said, "I've not seen faith like yours." He said, "Lord, you don't have to even come to my house. Lord, you could just speak the word. I know you can because I know you've done it. Lord, you could just speak the word." And Jesus said, "Your faith." How could he have known that? He had to have known something about Jesus. To know about Jesus healing and Jesus even raising those from the dead. Well, "Lord," he said, "just speak the word and my servant will be healed." Jesus saw this man as this man really was. "Just speak the word, Jesus. That's all it'll take. Just speak the word." Now, if you go back and think about God speaking, if you go all the way back to creation, the scriptures teach us God spake the world into existence. The Hebrew words for speaking the world into existence, ex nihilo, it means that God spoke the world into existence. As the old black preacher I have shared with you before said this about the creation event, he said, "God spoke something, the world, out of nothing. And he flung it out there on nowhere and told it to stay there. And it's been there," he said, "every day since." Jesus, you have the power just to speak the word and my servant will be healed. Jesus was marveled, the Bible says, about this man's faith. Remember now, this centurion was a Roman. He was a pagan. He was a Gentile. Jesus also marveled over the lack of faith that should have been in Jewish. They were the ones, in fact, you know, who said, well, we trust in God. We trust the Lord. Our faith is in the Lord, not Jesus, of course, but our faith is in God, Lord God, Jehovah. That's the one they proclaimed to have their faith in, and the ones who said they had faith were the ones who didn't have any. He said, I haven't seen your kind of faith even in the ones who profess to have the faith. Well, he looked on the soldier, and he said, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. The centurion's servant, the Bible says, was healed within that same hour. Now, what does this story say to us today? Listen, God did a great work in this man's life. Now, I want to tell you something God's revealed to me. God's going to do a great work in this church. He's going to introduce us to some people that we've never known before. And He's possibly going to send us as this church into places that we've never been before. And listen to me now. If we'll just follow His will and believe His work, believe His word, and trust in Him, we're going to get to take part in the blessing. What a blessing this man had when his servant was healed, and all was because of what Jesus did in his life. Listen, God's up to something good. And I'll tell you this, you can just get ready for God to do a great miracle here. He's revealed that to me in my studies, in my prayer time, over some years up to this moment. God's going to do a work in our midst. And I want to be a part of it, don't you? Amen, I do, I really do. So you see how important it is, not only to see, but to be seen. It's important that our friends and the outsiders see us in the right kind of light, in the right kind of way. It's even more important that we see ourselves as we really are. But it's extremely important how Jesus sees us. That's the most important part of it all. And it comes down to this. It's under authority. Just as a centurion was under authority, our Lord was under the authority of God the Father. And listen, church, our church needs to be under the authority of the Lord. And as individuals, we need to be under the authority of the Lord. I ask us to ask ourselves the questions, are we there yet as a church? Are we there yet as an individual? So you see, seeing and being seen is extremely important. Only God really sees us as we really are. We don't even know ourselves how we really are. Nobody really sees it. They see the external facade of what we may say we are, but only the Lord. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And when He sees us, I want Him to see us as humble servants under His authority. We have no control over how others see us. They can certainly misunderstand us and misrepresent us. But if our hearts are right with God and we do things in the right kind of way, then however the world perceives it is not really that important. It's how God sees it. And He knows all about us, doesn't He? I want to see myself as I really am. I'm a nobody. You take Jesus out of my life and you've got a zero left. That's all you got. But I want to be under His authority, don't you? And the church that's under His authority is a church that's going to march forward in these days of such sin and wickedness. We can and we will march forward as Jesus leads us and guides us. Him being the captain, we being the followers, we'll get the blessing in the meantime.